You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E, and there is no Jay tonight, but don't worry, I'm not alone. I am joined for a special announcement by world-renowned, world-famous, Academy Award-winning author, Michael Thompson.
Hey.
I almost say yes. Thomas every time.
Thomas, yeah. I didn't know that I got an Academy Award until now. So thank
it's
you
in
that.
The mail.
It's in the mail. Good. Good.
So I'm we're excited. Here. We actually got this is for everybody listening on the podcast. We're doing an impromptu live right now.
We're live.
So there's actually 5 or 6 people in here watching.
Oh, great.
So if you guys have questions and all that, you know, put them in here. I'll put them up. We'll read them. We'll do this stuff. We don't do live stuff a whole ton because of our work schedule, because we pretty much do the podcast like during the day when people work, animals. But we have a very special announcement. Are you ready, Michael?
I'm ready.
We are doing a live show together. Woo!
Woo! Yeah!
Yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm waiting for.
So we're doing a live show called Sea Monsters and UFOs. This will be June 14th at Noreta Lanes. And that is, let me see if I can, oh gosh, the overlays. Can you tell we don't do this very often? All right. Now I can't read anything. Great. It's a 1182 State Route 235. Ada, Ohio, 45810. And it's Cryptids of Corn and author Michael Thompson. Yes, and we'll be talking about all kinds of fun, awesome stuff with the live shows. So we'll kind of get into what that means. Michael, I mean, welcome aboard. What do you got to say?
I'm thrilled. I can't wait. Congratulations on the release of your new book, The Living UFOs, The Ocean Above Our Heads. This will be exciting to talk about the ocean and the ocean above our heads at the same time.
Well, that would be
It's gonna
That is the theme, the oceans.
Two oceans.
The oceans.
Both filled with monsters.
And David's in here and Stonebender's in here. Welcome, welcome, guys. Hello. Yeah, they're all, you know, oceans and monsters. They just go hand in hand. Doesn't matter which one. But yeah, so we'll kind of get into what a live show entails, the time. So this one, but as the live is coming out, the tickets are not available to the public yet. But when this comes out on the podcast, they'll be available. The link will be in the below, top link. I think we said they're $10 a ticket. It's limited. Hey, Dave, I think it's limited to 75 is the seat. Excuse me. It'll be from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. We'll be at a public place after 9. It's a public place after 9 p.m., so I'm sure we'll still be hanging out and sitting in, but the structured event ends at 9 o'clock at the Norita Lanes Bowling Alley. So it entails an hour live show from each of us, so it's 2 hours of live shows. Meet and greet, kind of hang out before and after, that kind of stuff. Who knows? By that time, I should have a second book out. Bum, bum, bum. Now I know the process. Man, I'm coffee today. It's the death hotel we just stayed at. Let's see.
People were coughing over there.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we had, they heard us complain about it already enough a couple weeks ago by the time this comes out. Mm-hmm. The black mold in the shower that they just spray painted over that was winning. The black mold was winning. After we looked, I think we had more black mold than shower.
No, man.
But no, Michael, what do you think about all of this?
I'm thrilled. I'm very excited. My show, I'm excited to sort of take it on the road a little bit more. This is the same show that I made for the Library of Congress, and I showed off during their paranormal forum, their What If forum. And it's called Cryptids and Storytelling, and it's all aquatic cryptids. We dive into the original legend of each of these different cryptids, and especially the obscure ones. I'm always especially drawn to the obscure ones, but there is at least one famous one. And then I go through the process of how I adapted them to make them cohesive for storytelling in my Wenzel Hofner series. Both through writing and illustration.
So this is going to be a very unique show, everybody, because as far as I know, podcast live shows are common, but a podcast and an author live show, the same thing, I don't think that happens.
We're breaking ground.
And there will be a bar, so it'll make our show, at least me and Jay's side of it, palatable. So we really like to do is I try to make them different, everyone. We try to incorporate a lot of photos and a lot of video into our side of it, because during the podcast, we can't show you guys anything. Like, you know, it's what I can read, what I can say, yeah, in this video, this thing happened. Take my word for it, I guess. You know, let me describe to you this UFO zooming around the sky. All right, it's a ball that has four tentacles hanging off it that are static. It's just... So what we really, really like to do is get the video and picture side of it. We'll, you know, play the video or, you know, show the image on screen, because there's many TVs inside the bowling alley. Excuse me. Sorry. Like I said, I'm under the weather. And then we kind of review it together and we go over some stuff. And Jay doesn't see any of the photos or videos until the live show. So you get his general reaction to these things, just like the podcast. Like, you know, Jay doesn't, like, I tell him what the week's about. He never remembers.
Well, I'm very excited to be in your audience for that.
Well, I'm very excited to start drinking again. No, I love doing live shows, and we try to make them as affordable as possible, you know, with the space that we're getting. You know, it's $10 a ticket. So I find it hard pressed to find anything else in that price range for 4 or 5 hours of entertainment. And we'll be idiots for you for 4 or 5 hours, at least me and Jay will. I'll take a break. I'll read comments, just shout outs. Right. I do not do live stuff very often. David, hey David, nice seeing you in Lexington. He's seen us both in Lexington. Stonebender, hey, that's the president of the J Fan Club. Dave Davison, my first Australian book went to Dave here. He bought it immediately being out, which I don't even know if it was like 4 a.m. where he lives or something like that.
That's awesome.
Paul. Hey, Colleen. Jay's MIA is a clear violation of his contract. He is getting his flap extended, though.
He's getting a flap extension, emergency flap extension.
And then Colleen, I seen Colleen in here. Hi, Colleen. Hi, Brandon. Did I meet this dude at Encounter Quest? Yes, you did. Creator, hey, welcome. He's got really cool art. His Bigfoot and the Orbs with the Frogs is awesome. Hey, guys. Cool. And William Nighthawk, Eric's author, does live shows on the bizarre and the unknown. Awesome. But yeah, so I know there'll be food and drink. You can buy, like, it's a restaurant bar. I think Jay was going to try to curate a special limited menu for that night.
Ooh.
So we may get, like, sea monster samplers.
Oh, that's awesome.
And like living UFO, like sky clam kebabs.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Jeff from Star Cruiser did an excellent job on the sky clams.
Yeah. And it's the first art of it that I actually seen that looked like kind of the thing that was being described.
Oh, it's beautiful. I picked up a print.
They only had eight. I bought two of them, or he gave me two of them. I tried to buy two of them. But yeah, so if anybody's got any questions about live shows or Michael or me or anything like that, please put them in the comments while we're going over this. So hotels in the area, I try to always tell that. It's Uran. Y'all should do a live tour. We're working on it. We actually have one in in Arkansas. We're working on one in Tennessee, and this is our Ohio show with Michael. Arkansas is not too far from where you are. But the hotel is the Inn in Ada. And I'm going to try to get a special rate. So just be on the lookout for the website for that. If not, that is, you know, that's the closest hotel. If not, Bluffton, Ohio has like a Holiday Inn. That's, you know, it's a Holiday Inn. They're always like, like $111 a night or something like that. They're pretty much always like $100. Plus, Ada has several Airbnbs, including the Easter House, which is a gigantic blue house that you can rent. Hello, Justin Lamb. It was 12 midday when I bought it and forgot about exchange rate. Hopefully, the book's gold. LOL. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Is gold.
I would go in a heartbeat. The ticket price is great, but flying from Northern Idaho isn't cheap. I don't imagine flying from Northern Idaho is cheap. I didn't even know you guys had planes. That was a joke. But yeah, Michael, what do you think?
I'm thrilled. I'm excited. I got a copy of your book right here.
Oh, gosh. There's like four on this table. Everybody, look. I didn't know we were promoting this tonight. This is good radio.
Jellyfish illustration in there.
Mine doesn't have a jellyfish in it even.
I feel very exclusive.
It'd be weird to sign a book to yourself, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That would be a weird thing to do.
A little bit, yeah. To me, best wishes.
Yeah. We haven't done a live show in forever. Let's see. So what can I tell you guys about the bowling alley? I think after the 9 o'clock, maybe not. I can't confirm it. But Jay may open up the bowling lanes to everybody.
Nice.
We may do some like a bowling tournament he was talking about after the live show ends. We have to fly out of Spokane, Washington, just small airports here. So you got to go to Washington to fly to Ohio from Northern Idaho. But let's see. What else can I tell you guys? I'm just trying to think. I always forget stuff. You'll get 2 hours of, it's 4 hours, the whole thing. We each do an hour live show, questions, all that stuff. We'll have merch. Sometimes we do exclusive t-shirts for these events if I can get it, if I can swing it. So that'll be fun. But yeah, when this comes out, you'll be able to buy the tickets below, $10 a ticket. It is limited. When it sells out, it sells out. I'm just trying to think of what else, Michael. If anybody in the chat has some questions, get them in here and we'll start answering them because we're going to try to make this around a half hour long. So the podcast people don't get as angry.
I'll bring some books. I will bring some of my in-person exclusive items, like my prints and my art, and limited edition collectibles as well, for everyone who makes the trip.
And you can get a picture with the piranha lope, right?
You can. I will bring the piranha lope. The piranha lope will make the journey to Ada.
I may have to add the piranha lope into our presentation.
Is he a living UFO?
Yeah. I mean, if you put tentacles on
if
him.
If he jumps high enough.
I was going to say, you put tentacles on him and throw him. I mean, that would be a hard thing to ID. But yeah, and you're working on all kinds of stuff. Have you announced that stuff you're working on?
I can announce what's coming up next. We've got the Chicken Boy books that are coming up early next year. I'm doing the illustrations for the anniversary editions of Chicken Boy. That's my longest running series, for those who don't know. It's a superhero series about a chicken who eats radioactive birdseed, and he and his buddies save the world from monsters and mad scientists in a tower. Nothing's ever quite normal. That's coming out. The first three books are coming out again. So if you guys are interested in getting the originals, you can check those out on michaelthompsonbooks.com and try and scoop those up before they're gone forever, because the anniversary editions will replace them, and that'll be the one that goes out to all the bookstores from now on.
Oh, so if you want both copies, you better jump on it.
Jump on it. They're going to be collector's editions. And then Winslow 3, which I have not announced the title yet, but that is very close to complete, and that's going to be coming out in the new year as well.
See, I'm really bad about this stuff, because you tell us stuff and I'm like, okay, what is public knowledge and what isn't public knowledge?
Right.
So I just go with none of it is public.
Yeah.
Because I just can't remember.
Yeah, I did spend a lot of time autographing some books for a big promotion, which I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk about myself, so I won't, but I just signed hundreds of books over at my printer, and those are going to be going all over the place for something really fun.
And when in doubt, don't talk about it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Hundreds of books are going.
Yeah. It's exciting. All over. I think it's a national thing. National, I should say.
It is.
Okay.
But yeah, we just were at Crypticon. Crypticon was amazing. We got to meet all kinds of people.
So it was a good event.
I love ending the year on Crypticon. It's a good event to end on, because you end on a high note. It's a
really great finale. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun hanging out with people. Wild Bill hung out with us a lot.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, Uncle Bill, you mean?
Yes, Uncle Bill.
Uncle Bill. If he doesn't bully you.
We saw the twins. We played Uno with the twins.
Yes, we did. Super late.
I have some funny video of you and Emily holding the girls, and they're like handling your cards and throwing down the wrong card. It's like really cute.
But yeah, so the live show, I'm gonna guess the kids will be in and out. But yeah, I'm just trying to make this 20 minutes long for everybody. But
what's your favorite type of living UFO, Justin?
Oh gosh, probably either the manta rays or the jellies. The manta rays. It's the manta rays. I always put the jellies on the cover of thing, because the manta ray art is hard to see.
It is.
Yours has been about the best one.
The most dynamic looking one on account of the tentacles.
Oh, I'm sorry?
The tentacles on the jelly is very dynamic and interesting to look at.
But like the manta rays, like our manta ray, people always think it's a blue liver.
Blue liver.
Yeah, because it's hard to tell what they are, because they're very transparent. But the encounters with them are the best, as far as the time. A lot of people, when they see them for minutes, you know, sometimes 10, 12, 30 minutes at a time. A sense of awe. They're very, very extremely large, some of these cases. And several people that we've interviewed in person and through email and all that have just described this sense of awe with them,
right?
Of like seeing a whale, you know, just it's not going to hurt me. I whatever reason, you just as a human, you're like, oh, that animal's not going to hurt me or doesn't want to hurt me. It's just big and slow moving. But the jellyfish have probably some of the craziest stories. Like there's one in the book where the Chinese military fought one and didn't win.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was impressive for a jellyfish. Put up your dukes and let's just get down to it. Daniel, here you go. Hey, guys. Hey, Daniel.
What's up, Daniel?
Good. Things are great.
I love that profile picture.
Just the tentacles in the ship.
I need some of that for my book signings.
You need to bring a big old cardboard like cut out like that.
I would like that. I would like a big photo setup, you know.
Just start getting four booth spaces.
Four booth spaces, yes. Just rebuild Winslow's fishing boat and just have a
Cool that would be?
I know it would be cool.
Just do it. I mean, what is it gonna be? $400 or $500 to rent the space? You just gotta sell 30 more books to make it even remotely close to breaking even.
Yeah.
50, 60
Although
books.
If the space itself is more interesting than the books, then that could be an issue.
It gets people in being like, yeah, now you're sold. Now you're in Winslow's universe.
It would be worth it one day.
Let's see. That was taken at Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios in Orlando. Okay.
Right, I got to reach out to them.
just go steal it. Just steal it.
Give me your leftover Halloween stuff.
What's been some of your favorite sea monsters you've gotten into? Any new ones recently?
Oh boy, new ones. Well, in terms of the ones that are in the show, I dive deeply into one of the ones that we covered on our sea monster episode, where I subbed in for you, the Dobarku, or the Dowarku, as it's otherwise pronounced. And I'm a big, big fan of the Kraken. That's kind of the famous one. People always ask me, it's like at my book signings, they're like, do you believe in a lot of these? And I do. And as far as the Kraken goes, I kind of think it's essentially confirmed with the discovery of the giant squid, the colossal squid, things of that sort. I think that kind of fulfills a lot of the shapes of some of these stories for the body. Yeah, but of course in the first Winslow Hofner book, it's a big octopus, and it was based on the Octopus giganteus globster from St. Augustine in the 1800s.
We have a long neck, or we have a sea monster episode coming out soon. I won't ruin it for everybody. But one of the stories is what we're talking about. Why don't we see sea monsters? Why are sea monsters? Why were they so big and bad in the 1700s, 1800s, and why are they gone now? And we talked a lot about the whaling industry of the 1800s, that we burnt enough. I don't know if you probably know this, but for people at home, we burnt enough whale oil that we left a permanent scar on the Antarctic ice sheet that looks like a volcanic eruption. We burnt enough whales that it looks like a volcano went off.
That is crazy.
And we actually burnt so many whales that we ran out of whales. So that's when it almost wiped off the southern and northern elephant seal populations. Elephant seals were considered extinct there for a while. And they turned to some of these sea monsters. We talked about some of the, like the Maryland, oh gosh, what was the captain's name? Montgomery, was it? Where the whaling vessel killed a mosasaur. It's what it sounded like, or a giant oceanic crocodile. And you know what they did once they got it on board? They immediately started processing it like it was a sperm whale. He talked about how he's like, it sucked melting down the fat to make oil. And this meat tasted horrible, so we started throwing it overboard.
Oh, my
God.
And
I kept the skull, and I sold it to a tourist.
Man. So yeah, that's very similar. The skulls always get sold to tourists. That's similar to what happened to...
Because it make money.
What it's claimed to what happened to Gambo.
There's probably a giant oceanic crocodile skull in somebody's basement in Ohio, because they were in Maryland when this captain's like, yeah, we just killed this thing. Well, we don't want it. Here you go. No, so the one we did for the episode comes out in a couple weeks. It was 1913. It was 1913. A gunning boat off the coast of Newfoundland. Off the coast of Iceland, patrolling for U-boats. Submarines, and they would often use whales as target practice for submarines. So they see this creature that has, they think it's a periscope, and they're like, They think this creature's a periscope. And the captain's like, ah, you can shoot it. And he's like, wait, let's get a little closer and see what it actually looks like. They get a little closer and see what it actually looks like. He's like, oh, that's really neat. I'm not going to describe the creature because I don't want to ruin the episode that comes out.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, go ahead. And they send 2 5-pound cannon mortars right sailing past its head. And the whole thing, it just like is looking around like, what the heck was that? The third shot, they hit it broadside and then it died. And the assistant, like, what would you call that? The assistant captain or whatever.
The bosun.
The bosun said that was bad luck to kill a sea monster and will never make it back to port. The guys that shot the thing asked the log director if they could scratch that from the log that they had killed this thing because they felt bad because it screamed in pain for a half an hour as it bled to death. Wow. And the guy at the log is like, no, you shot it. It's staying in the log. And then they all died in 2 days.
Hmm.
And then I cut out. And then, yeah. So don't shoot sea monsters, especially ones that were waving at you.
Yeah.
No, I was going to tell you about the fossil kraken they found.
The fossil kraken. Yeah.
So cuttlefish, for anybody who don't know, they'll build little nests on the bottom of other animals like bones and that kind of stuff. And a lot of times the centerpiece of a cuttlefish nest will be a big prey item.
Mm-hmm.
To show that how strong they are for potential mates and rivals. They found a fossilized one, a fossilized cuttlefish nest, that I believe from the middle of the Jurassic, that had like massive mosasaur bones as a part of it.
Wow.
It may have been pliosaurs. It was just, I don't know if I'm frozen. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. I don't do this very often.
Your face is a little frozen. Yeah.
Massive pliosaurs. And in the center of it was a half-eaten one. So they don't know if this giant cuttlefish had found one and brought it down there or if it had killed one and was displaying its carcass. But the nest was like 200 feet wide, the display circle. So if it's roughly like modern-day cuttlefish, that would have been like a 100-foot cuttlefish. And the pliosaur in the middle of the nest was just absolutely massive.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Like fossil evidence of kraken. They supposedly have a sea monster here in late Pendleton, Orley, pronounced Lake Petal de Ray. They call him Paddler. Oh, I have Paddler in a book over here, one of my sea monster books.
Cool.
But yeah, so that's why sea monsters don't talk to us anymore.
No, yeah.
There was gunships.
Plenty of places to hide.
There was gunships taking pot shots at them for submarine practice. It's not great. It's not great. Have you heard any of those stories? Have you ran into any of those stories where sea monsters just get murdered?
I heard of the
murdered?
Submarine one. Yeah, it's a great one. There's quite a lot of impressive ones. I quite like you were talking about the long neck seals earlier, and that's one of Bernard Heuvelmann's suggested body plans for the Loch Ness monster, and that was kind of the direction that I went when adapting Nessie for the second Wenzel Hofner book, Wenzel Hofner's High Sailing Adventures. I quite liked that for the alacrity. And I know you're quite a fan of the mega eel sort of variety for the Loch Ness monster, correct?
Oh no, giant salamander.
Oh, you like giant salamander for the
Loch Ness. Yeah, no, that's the Loch Ness monster is a giant salamander. The motorcycle sighting, it was running backwards. They said the neck running was in back. The air and it was running backwards.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
like a big scared salamander. Now, I think we were just talking about that today. I think the Loch Ness monster may have been several different things.
I mean, could have been. The oldest sighting was Irish missionary, and it was they didn't describe what it looked like, but thing came out, snatched his buddy, and he said, you know, go in the name of the Lord, and then it reacted, you know, as though and he treated it as though it were a demon, basically, in the water.
And so the only thing they left out of that story that we could find in our research is. They actually used the holy hand grenade of Hankernock.
Did they now?
And
That makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
If anybody didn't know what I'm talking, it's one of the Monty Python movies. Mm-hmm. And it's just this bomb that you're supposed to hold for 3 seconds after you pull the pin. And they have it in their hand for like 5 minutes after they pull the pin, reading the directions. And it kills the rabbit. If aliens far smarter than human are leaving their planets and animals on Earth, a brilliant way to determine the possibility of habitation on Earth. Oh, yeah, if they're leaving. We just did a Patreon episode on the crazy critter of Bald Mountain, which just seemed like a deer, a crab, a slug, and a squid had a baby.
That's one of the strangest looking critters.
It didn't do anything. It just existed and glowed. It just was living, man. And then the government shot it in the head.
What a shame.
Government do. But yeah, Michael, anything else to add before we wrap it up?
I'm really excited to see everyone. I'm excited to come out and hang out with you guys and hang out with everyone who comes out to Nareda Lanes. This will be my first time at the bowling alley because I've been in your neck of the woods before, but I haven't actually gotten to see the alley yet. So,
oh, the bowling alley is cool. Jay will take tours back to see how bowling alley equipment works. He did it at the Jamboree. I look back and he's taken like 12 people back there to just show them how bowling alley equipment works. It's
We need a cosmic bowling with like jellyfish like stuff flying around somehow.
Oh, I can order a bunch of dead jellyfish to throw on the bowling lanes.
Some dead jellyfish.
Like, here you go, bowl around these.
Yeah, that'll be a fun party favor.
There's a dead jellyfish.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think that's it. I've been the great and powerful mystery.
I've been Michael Thompson.
We'll catch you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Crypt of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jay clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye. Bye.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.